free nuggies?
I want some free nuggies. I want some free huggies, dudes.
That made me depressed. Why?
Free nuggie for a huggie.
I was really happy with the free nuggie bit, and now it's just sad.
But it's a free nuggie for a free huggie.
I mean, if someone gave me nuggies, free nuggies, I'd give them a huggie.
That's not a free huggie, though. No, that breaks the rules. That's a paid for huggie because they paid you in nuggets.
You just described, Ben. You said the nuggie for a huggie.
How much money does it actually take to produce a chicken nugget? Like,
Alec, you're the McDonald's worker. This is your thing.
I have no idea, bro. I throw them in a fryer and fryer go burr. I don't know.
fryer go burr.
How long does it take? How much money does... You just look up how much money.
How much money?
It just says 182.2
million.
Question
on all of our
minds.
How much money?
How much money does it take to make a chicken?
How much money is the most that anybody has paid for a Klondike bar?
To make a chicken nugget.
Chin can nugget.
So...
Nugget.
So the eight pieces, so for an 8-piece it costs about 1 cent.
Oh my god.
It costs
dude.
About 1 cent to make 8.
There's no way.
Nuggets.
How subsidized is farming in the US?
Well, like, here, let me read this. This is on Quora, so maybe it's not. Maybe it's more sus.
That's Quora. That's too sus.
The cost for one that. McChicken nugget. Wait, what's a McChicken nugget?
That's what they're called because McDonald's. Everything is
Oh,
Mc.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that someone came through and asked me for a McSprite? Sorry.
Wait, really? Someone asked you for a McSprite? Yeah.
There was a McDelivery sign that I saw. It was like outside the McDonald's.
No, McDelivery is a real thing, but
that's what they call it. It's really funny, though.
Right up here for McDelivery. So, wait. The cost for one chicken McChicken nugget based on all the pieces made from across North America is far less than 0.1 cent.
Oh my god.
How do they get it so low?
Yeah, that's insane.
So
just mass producing them?
This is simply for the reason that McDonald's manufactures the McChicken in such mass quantity in its food factories and warehouses. So basically on the cost of an $8 Big Mac meal, which is a Big Mac, a small fries, and a medium soda.
Not a small fry, it's a medium fry or a large fry, depending on which size you have.
Okay,
it's $7.89 for a medium and it is $8.79 for a large.
Okay, whatever. Let's just go with this. $8 Big Mac meal, it costs about 30 cents to make.
Damn.
And that includes...
The meal costs 30 cents to make.
30 cents, the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay.
And this includes the cardboard cup, plastic lid, paper straw.
That's probably what, honestly, most of it is. I doubt the food is really, like...
Yeah.
Because
the food is cheap as shit. So
they vary during the winter and the seasons, actually, because of, like, tomatoes and onions and lettuce.
Oh, really?
I've
never tasted a difference in my McDonald's tomato or my McDonald's.
I mean, they're just imported.
I mean, I doubt you taste the difference. It just probably is, like, more work to do it.
It just takes more money because they have to import them from, like, Mexico or some shit. But they are imported.
I wish that instead of the Mick, they would make it McDonald's, so it's like a McDonald's chicken nugget. Like, they fully added the entire name.
Oh, yeah, the McNugget.
The McDonald's
nugget. Isn't that what it's called?
It is called the McNugget.
Oh,
no, what if it was fully the McDonald's nugget? Like, they added
like how I just
it.
Said the McNugget, as though that's not what it's actually called.
Oh, yes, the McChicken.
It's approximately 1,000% profit.
Damn.
That's nuts, dude.
That's insane.
How much does it cost for a large soda? Because I've heard that that's where McDonald's makes a lot of fucking money. Because syrup
it's so cheap.
Soda cost.
It's to the point where like they don't care if people come through for refills, but they make them pay for a second cup because the cup costs more than the drink.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the cans are no. That's I don't want the cans.
Cans.
How much does it cost McDonald's to make a soda?
So the.
No, that's how much does it cost McDonald's for a large soda, not to buy a large soda.
How much do I pay for soda?
Large.
I pay
five and 20 cents per serving. So 20 cents for a large drink, and it costs.
I assume it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So you that's an 80%. No, not 80%. It's 80 cents of profit. I don't know if that is 80% profit. I don't. I'm in.
Yeah, no, it is.
And I still don't know this. Okay.
That's like a 500% profit.
Also, the difference between like sizes is also what fucks people because it's like the difference between a medium and a large is not that much. Like,
no. People also get really, they're like, oh my god, dude, a large is the same as a medium? I'm just going to get the large then. It's like, it's really not as big of a deal as you think because they're really not, the margins on that are ridiculous.
It's
they're
even more, It's even more so a thing with fries. I don't know if this is a thing at McDonald's, but where I work, the fry size is like, you can make a medium and a large fit in the same thing, like, easily. It's like basically the same amount of fries. Like, oh, you give me the same amount of fries,
no,
it's basically
McDonald's,
the large and medium is the same.
McDonald's is not like that. You've seen the different sizes for
yeah, there's a pretty good like, size difference in McDonald's.
And you we actually honestly, like they actually teach us to pack them in. Like, it's not like we're just kind of throwing them in there and making them like it. We're like, we actually are taught to legitimately fucking fill them.
You can honestly make a small fit in a medium. Like, genuinely, you can make a small fit in a medium and it would be like full enough to go out and be consumed. Like, it's not like full, but if you took like a small amount of fries from Carl's Jr. and you put it in a medium thing, it would basically be like about a normal standard for filling a medium. And then same with a large, like you can take what's in a medium and it's almost exactly the same as a large. Like, it's almost exactly.
That's pretty cool.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. I don't even look at the prices, but...
You've never seen prices?
I've never seen prices. Window, yeah, huh? I work in the back, so I've never seen prices.
This may be cooking dough.
Cooking dough. Cooking. Yeah, that's crazy, though. Honestly,
I cook a mini myth.
The profit made by, like, the fast food and just general giant corporate industry is fucking insane.
It's
like,
ridiculous. Did you hear how a lot of the big colleges were started? Like, you know how Yale and, like, fucking, what's the one in, or Baylor, like, the one in Texas?
Hmm.
The way that those schools got started was, in the 1800s, when they were, when there was a big, train boom, or, like, just kind of train industry boom, the U.S. basically said for every mile of track you lay, they just will give you a fuck ton of money. So... like it was almost like negative subsidization because they were making money for laying train tracks,
which is helping the U.S.
Yeah. So then you have like a few different people with like ridiculous amounts of money, and they're like, "What do I do when I have like when I have so much money? Oh, I'll start a college." So like all those big colleges, like fucking, I know Baylor and I know Yale are, but like the big colleges are just because these fucking crazy tycoons had so much money.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's like what, even though colleges are super expensive, that is still like at least a mildly noble act to do with all that money is you're like actively saying, I'm going to use all of this money to put towards better education for the youth of the next generation
or for your own generation. It's actually a pretty noble cause. I respect it. But it's just like, it's crazy to think that they got so much money that they're like, they have a surplus to the point where they'll start a college.
Yeah. We'll make a new school that's better than all of the other schools.
Yeah.
Also, I know we definitely said nothing at the start of the podcast, so it doesn't really matter now, but this is four idiots in a microphone, and we're missing an idiot.
We are missing Leo. We totally forgot about that.
It's okay.
Yeah,
he's
busy
matter.
This week.
Yeah, he's busy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that I know you said it's a noble cause, but at the same time, like, making education that is founded on a system that just, like, is ridiculously way, way too expensive, and also, like, things like Yale and stuff is just, like, putting the highest...
But was it founded way too expensive, or did it become
maybe
way
not.
Too expensive?
Maybe that has like, more to do with,
I
don't
mean,
know.
Okay, the prices for school have been rising because you used to have to pay for college out of pocket. You didn't used to be able to get loans. Like, that you didn't, banks didn't loan to students. That's ridiculous. In the 1970s, at some point a bill was passed and basically banks' loans were protected so they could just loan to anyone they wanted. And even if they couldn't pay it, the government would just cover it. So they were like, ooh, just free money with zero risk. So they just started loaning to students. And then when they weren't actually spending their own money, colleges were like, oh, okay. And they just jacked their prices because it wasn't their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that has more to do with like the way that the government systems were sort of designed and built up on. So I guess it's maybe not the foundations of the colleges, but... Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with the way that I see it today, because I don't know what Yale or Baylor were like when they were founded. Maybe they weren't this prestigious.
We're never going to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
today most people do perceive colleges as really expensive and really hard to get into and stupidly overpriced.
And places like
anyone
Yale.
That's going to Yale is actually like.
Yeah, if you're going to Yale, you're probably not too concerned about the price because the chance of getting into Yale is so low, and you have to be basically a genius.
You have to pay to get in. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like...
If you're going to Yale, your parent paid for it, period.
Yeah.
I mean, that's generally the case for a lot of college, but yeah. I feel like these days Yale sort of, maybe this is just me, but Yale and all the other high tier Harvard and other shit, like prestigious colleges, sort of just feel like, you know, I don't know, not cringy, but like, really, like, this is what we're chasing after now. I don't, it's hard for me to put this into words, but it's like, Yale is cringy. It's just like,
it just doesn't feel like it's worth
it. It doesn't feel, yeah, it's so like, they hold themselves at such a high standard, and I'm like, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but like,
that's cool. Where did, like, at the same time, if you're given the choice between a really down to earth person that like went, played it smart and went to community college and has a better sense of money, or like went to community college and then transferred,
yeah,
and just has a really good sense of money and how money, like, they just know what money can do and how far it can go, and they have a really good sense of that. Or your choice is a really well-educated piece of shit that doesn't know how money works because they had their entire college paid for. Like,
I feel like a lot of cunts that go to Yale are just basically living on daddy's money, and that's their whole.
Yeah, life. I think that's where the cringe comes from, not necessarily.
I think even the daddies of the Yale kids were also, like, they live their life based off of their father's money. Like, there's probably like a long trickle down system. I don't think
they ever worked a serious or like a dead end job or anything.
I mean, that's not necessarily true. There are certain situations where like there are people who will, like, you know, they have like a crazy difficult lives, and then these people are like, I'm gonna try my hardest to make my children's life better and easier than mine was.
No,
and
absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe they got, maybe they're a millionaire, maybe they're really, really rich, but, you know, they worked for that money, but their kids never will.
Yeah. Which I don't think that's even necessarily an issue. Like, all of us come from pretty well-off middle-class households, so I think that we can all speak to that, that, like, we still have to work, but...
Yeah, we don't have to work, though.
There's a difference between have to work and, like...
Yeah.
We don't have to work just to survive. We don't have to work to, like, be... No. alive and like make it, but to the next day,
it's enough that our parents are like, if you want to buy anything big or serious for yourself, then you go work for it, kind of thing.
Yeah. My mom doesn't buy anything for me, really. Like, I mean
that's a different story, but
yeah,
I don't know if you want to talk about your parental relationship.
Your mom has a really, really good job. She could be making ridiculous money. Not ridiculous money, but she could be pretty well off.
She's chosen to do what she wants to do, and I mean there's not a lot that I can really change
about. I mean, yeah, so, like,
I feel like a lot of times people will go into college and stuff like this sort of thinking that it's going to be sort of thought out for them because they're living a lot of a sheltered life. And so I feel like this discussion is like, parents will often be like, you know, I want to sculpt my kid's life for them, but they're sheltering their kids in some ways.
Yeah.
Not preparing them for like the ability to function on their own. Because otherwise you just end up with somebody who doesn't have a fucking spine. Like...
Yeah, there's a weird kind of double standard there with parenting. Parents really want to give their kids the best life they can, especially when they're younger. But at the same time, those kids are not going to grow up to be nearly as driven and successful as kids that started off with not much, and they had to learn how that feels, you know? It's just...
Yeah. At the same time, though, like, I'm sure parenting is an insanely difficult balance, and like,
oh, yeah, for
don't
sure.
know shit.
This is not like, docking parents whatsoever. Yeah. This is just
docking.
Yes, but that's what I said.
Yeah. You did say the funny word.
Somebody keep talking while I lean my chair back so it doesn't make a bunch of annoying noises. Okay.
I was thinking something.
That was good. Good content.
Good content.
Do we want to talk about YouTube?
I think we can talk about YouTube. I don't know about you. Would it be like... I think it could be interesting, to, like, since we're talking about parents and stuff, to kind of go down the rabbit hole of, like, not just our childhoods, but, like, kind of how we were raised up and how, like, what kind of schooling we went to and shit like that.
Nostalgia shit, yeah.
Nostalgia shit. Mm-hmm. That makes everybody go,
Nos. I don't know if that's nostalgia, but I will.
Well, it can be, because there's some things. Because, like, we can go back to nostalgic games and nostalgic YouTube creators. Like, I have a bunch of nostalgia towards old YouTube creators.
Oh, you're talking about YouTube. I thought you were, like, literally talking about.
Well, he means in general, but he means in general. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. I don't want that.
No. That's nostalgia. Hungry Pumpkin? No.
You are the only one who has nostalgia for Hungry Pumpkin.
Exactly.
What?
You don't know what Hungry Pumpkin is?
No, I have no idea.
Alec has never heard Hungry Pumpkin.
Hungry Pumpkin. Wait, Ben, you know what Hungry Pumpkin is?
Because you talk about it, like, not all the time, but you used to talk about it all the time. You used to always be like, no, I don't want that.
Hungry Pumpkin is basically, it's this like flash game type shit. And you're basically like, you're playing as like the diner owner, and there's this pumpkin and his name is Hungry Pumpkin, and he's hungry because, you know, he's a pumpkin and he's hungry. And because he's hungry, he comes into your diner looking for some sustenance, and you have to provide him with a sustenance. And he comes in and he has like very specific requests about what he wants. So it would be like, give me the coffee. And you have to give him the coffee. And if you give him not the coffee,
give me the coffee.
No, you want to hear what he sounds like? Hold on, give me a second.
Just keep
give me the coffee.
Yeah. So absolutely. Give him the wrong thing, he will yell, no, I don't want that.
And Simon will, like, I don't know, it was mainly like freshman and sophomore year, Simon would just constantly say, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. Like,
this is so bad.
It's really funny, though.
I almost said the bleep word. I was about to say this, it's so bleep, but I held back, I refrained.
But you bleppled. Thank you for bleppling.
Yeah, listen to Hungry Pumpkin coming in.
Give me the pizza. Give me the pizza. That's not too hard. Give me.
What is that?
It's Hungry Pumpkin, and he's wanting
things.
What is
the noise? What is that?
That's him eating.
Give me the soda.
The soda.
See, that even needs the can. Give me the rice.
Give me the rice. Give me the rice.
That's awesome.
This player has not given him anything wrong yet, so he's not going, no, I don't want that.
Simon has chosen the wrong path, and he has specifically chosen a good player, unlike himself.
Yeah, you're shit.
I'm very hungry.
I'm very hungry.
I was expecting a little bit more robotic. He just sounds like a man.
I don't want that.
There we go.
No, I don't want that. I mean, he sounds like a man because he's like an animated pumpkin.
He sounds kind of like Matt.
Matt?
I don't want that.
No.
He has like a very slight southern tinge to him.
I mean, I was expecting kind of like a Siri kind of voice, like a legitimate robot. I was not expecting just a man to be saying all of this.
I mean, I would love to know who the Hungry Pumpkin voice actor is.
You would love to meet him and shake his hand.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to meet him and like hand him some coffee and have him scream at me, no, I don't want that.
I don't want that.
That'd be amazing.
Wait, let's keep going on Flash games. Do you have something?
Oh, yeah, Flash games. No, I didn't have anything else, really.
I didn't play many Flash games, but
I didn't either.
I had a phase where I would go to the computer lab after school, because there was an after-school program that I went to, and my mom would get off work at, like, 5:30, so she'd have to come pick me up. I was always the last kid to leave the after-school program. Sadness. But I would always end up... Yeah. But I would play a lot of Roblox Tycoons.
Really?
Yeah.
More money man over here.
Yeah, I really like the whole process of building up a tycoon. I don't really know why.
I had the exact same situation as you. Like there was an after school program that I was also always the last one to leave because my mom always got off work late. And I remember very distinctly, even when I was younger, my mom was like super like sort of helicoptery about my like screen time. And I would always just go to this after school program and go hide in the computer room. And I would just play for hours these two games called Pharaoh, which is a game. It's a really old game from, I think, like the 1990s or something. Pharaoh. When was Pharaoh released?
I don't know, bro.
He's asking into Google.
Yeah. And then there was this other game that was basically It was like an aquarium park like simulator. It was 1999. It was Pharaoh's release. Yeah, and it was like this aquarium park simulator where you basically could make different like tanks and like put blue whales, like fucking giant shit, which never would actually go in like an aquarium in one tank. And then it'd be like little crabs and like dolphins and shit. And like occasionally shit would like break out and you have to be like, oh fuck, and like save it. And there'd be like a fish flopping around the ground and you have to come like send the med teams to go pick it up.
The med teams?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Pharaoh was basically this game that was like, it's like the OG city builder, where basically it was like an Egyptian city, and you would build like these different little areas. You would build like a little an area that had like for monuments, where you would like put monuments, like shrines to gods. You would build like, it was also a second game called Cleopatra, and where you'd build like these, the areas for like marketplaces. Pharaoh, the god of money? No, Pharaoh, the word Pharaoh is a king, and basically like a king and also godlike in Egyptian. Pharaoh is not a pharaoh, is just a word for like a king slash like godlike power. He's basically it's the patriarch of a society. I don't believe there may have been female pharaohs, but I don't know.
Pharaoh. I don't know why, but I was thinking of like pharaoh in Spanish. Isn't that a word in Spanish?
No, I don't think
I don't know. I was thinking of
pharaoh like the Egyptian thing, like.
Oh, you're thinking of Pharaoh. Oh, I was thinking of Pharaoh.
No, I wasn't. I was just kidding. Because
Pharaoh is also a grain.
Because Will Ferrell, yes.
It's a very healthy grain. And also, I was wrong. There were female pharaohs, which would be matriarch or patriarch then. But basically, yeah, it was like a city-building game. And you could build like little well areas. You could build like this whole city, these like Egyptian cities. It's been remastered, I think. I should play it again. Just really.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Cool.
But yeah, that was like my childhood. Was just sitting in there like for 4 hours just playing Pharaoh and Aquarium Park Simulator shit. I don't even know what
nice.
It was.
Nice. Yeah.
We can go back to like the flash game genre later. But
yo,
like,
who remembers Friv though?
Friv,
dude. Friv? Oh my god, that was a rush of a lot of nostalgia.
Friv
okay.
Was my shit.
What was what was your favorite Friv game?
Probably like the Electro Stickman guy, where you could go like kill people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. What was the driving one? There was there was a really really good driving one that was like, God.
You mean
I
the
don't...
bike one where you would do like backflips on a little orange bike and you could hit all little like coins and get the boost and shit?
No. There was like it was a racing game. It was like a 2D.
Oh my
racing
god! Did y'all
game.
Play the really shitty racing games? Like,
yo,
like the 3D
who remembers
car games?
Potty? Was it Potty Racers or Potty Flyers or something? Where you would
yeah.
build this like porta potty and it would like shoot shit out of the back, and you would like take this porta potty and you would like fly. You build like a jet version of it, and then like an old like Wright Brothers type plane, and like a commercial jet with rockets on it, and then like a spaceship, and it's just this fucking porta potty, and you just like fly. You try to make it from one map to the other, and you'd have to you get more points and like money based on the amount of
is Frick
like,
still up
time. That you went, I think it is. Yeah,
I'm gonna look at the game. I'm trying to find. There's like one game that I played a lot.
Dude,
of.
Potty Racers was my fucking shit.
I did not play
Potty
Racers.
I think it was Potty Racers.
I'm very glad that it's called Potty Racers.
Was it Potty Racers?
I don't know.
I didn't play it.
Racers. Was it this?
Potty Racers.
Yes, it was.
That's
Potty some
funny
Racers.
Shit.
Potty Racers, and then there was a Potty Racers 2, and you would build
you
like
play Bloxors
crazy
at all?
Bloxors?
And this guy with this crazy hair. What was the game?
Bloxors.
Bloxors?
It's like when we're like it. I don't know how to explain it. It like the block is lopsided. So like...
Oh, Bloxors. Oh, no, this is not. This is like
that's
a website.
Not Bloxors.
This is a picture of a man.
Bloxors, man.
Just looked up Bloxors on YouTube or not YouTube, Google, and I just got a picture of like. Oh, just a man in a suit staring at the camera.
Well, that's not the block or a source. It is a man.
What's block source?
I don't know. Alec, explain to us. What is block source?
I'm looking for it again. I lost it. Friv is so confusing.
Did y'all ever play really like the really shitty car simulators where it's like a 3D? It's just like a 3D car game in this like mildly open world map, but all of the physics are really bad.
Oh,
there's like tons
I know
of
what you're talking about.
Did you ever play anything in that genre?
Yes,
those were so much
like,
fun.
No, there was one that was like really well done. Like the graphics were like pretty good, and it was like actually like I was impressed by how.
And it had like three maps on it.
Yeah, it had like three maps, and you would like drive around, and you could hit these like rings, or like there were they're like blue.
Yeah,
and
there were like
rings.
Jumps that you could go through. And
you
shit.
Could go jumps and shit, and you could like customize your cars, and you could get like upgrades and shit. That was
that's
so cool.
The one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Changed. It doesn't have what I want.
Riff changed? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not like the giant screen of everything that's where to see. You know?
I was so funny. Like, going on a Friv and you would, like, memorize where your games were and you would have to, like,
uh-huh.
search through the
yep.
big thing.
Yup.
What's that one? Mini Clip? Mini Clip was good.
Cool Math
although
Games.
I spent less time. I really
I
never got
cool
into Cool Math.
You never got into Cool Math Games?
I don't think. I think
shit,
I played Red Ball in Cool Math Games. It's
oh,
funny.
I played all
I
of the Red Balls.
I used to speedrun Red Ball with Ben.
Oh, you played
Hazel.
All of the Red Balls? Damn, Ben.
Oh, I
me too. I've played every Red Ball on the planet.
I speedrun Red Ball so much. That was the shit. Wait,
yeah,
you mean me or Wicker?
No. I mean Hazel. I used to fucking speedrun like we were just sitting in biology, like not doing any work, speed running Red Ball. Like
that is exactly what I do with a bunch of other people in freshman year. That was so much fun.
Nah, except this was last year. This is junior year. And we were still.
I would still do it.
Yeah, honestly,
I just didn't have anybody to do it with at that point. I just didn't have anyone in my class who was that cool.
That cool.
That cool. To speed run Red Ball.
That cool was gonna speed run Red Ball with me. Anyone out there wants to speedball?
Speedball Red Bun.
We should live stream us just playing Red Ball and speedrunning it.
Red Ball has like a lore to it. Like the first game doesn't really have much.
Oh yeah, no, it does.
The first game doesn't have much at all, but then the second game you start to bring in like this love interest, like this female Red Ball, and then
they actually try and give it story.
Yeah, I don't know why they
Mario's storyline.
Yeah. I don't know why they did, but I love that they did. It's really funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I love Red Ball. That was the best. I also played Run. Do you guys remember Run?
Oh, yes.
With the skater dude? I had a kid
in middle school. I had a kid in middle school. His name was... He actually goes to Grant now.
You had a child?
I just realized what it sounded like. I had a kid in middle school.
I was a dad in middle school. I'm no longer a dad.
No, he goes to Grant now, and I haven't talked to him in like a long time. His name's Caden. And he was like a god at Run. Like he got like all of the different like characters, like with like different that could do different shit. Like the top,
such
like
a good time.
There's like a top hat guy that could like do like a flip and like triple jump and like some other shit, and then like the wizard who jumps really. So you know how Run, like Run 3.
Yeah,
the third Run 2 is best.
Run 2 is bad. The 3D one?
Yeah, man.
The one where it's like, no, I don't like that one. That one's not good. I don't like that one at all.
That one was really good.
I like Run 3. I mean, they're all good, but Run 3 is best Run.
I don't remember Run 3 very much. Like, I remember there was Run 3, but it was just Run 2 for me. Like, I looked up Run 3, and it would only come up with the second Run.
Well, that's because Run 3 actually got deleted, and now it's Baby Run.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because I think they got, like, some kind of, like, they got shut down for whatever reason, but now they just have Baby Run, which is just the same game, but you're just a baby, and there's way more ads, and the graphics are just shit.
By the time that I got to Run 3, it had been deleted, so I just would look up, everyone's like, Run 3 is the best Run game, and then I'd look it up, and it wouldn't come up, and it'd be really sad.
I think it got deleted, like, mid-last year, because I remember playing Run 3 for, like, the first half of biology, and then I would always be, like, go to Run and be like, all right, Baby Run.
Oh, that is sad.
Anyone ever play Tug the Table?
What?
Oh, yes, dude.
Tug the Table, bro. That shit was so good. Okay, answer the question. Is it better to spam or coordinate your kicks? So
coordinate.
Coordinate? I think spamming just always works.
No. It never works well for me. It just never ends up working. I don't know.
But if you're just like kicking, like if you're just constantly kicking, then like they're fucked. Like what are they going to do? Like even if they're coordinating it, they don't have enough power.
The problem is if they're coordinating it between your kicks, you're not timing yours. So they can kind of just coordinate between yours and then you're fucked because you're not coordinated.
I guess, yeah.
I was really good at that game.
It's like spamming versus being a good Smash player.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like spamming can win.
I mean, spamming can win with some characters, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like if you know what you're doing, you can work your way around it.
Okay, yeah, so you know, this is funny. You know how you have like you crack your knuckles or like you crack your back?
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I cracked my sternum. Like I leaned back and my sternum went like pop pop.
What's the sternum?
Oh god, that gives me like
your chest bone.
Oh
no, it didn't hurt.
Really no, sternum. But it would for me.
Oh well, yeah. Let's just give a fucking. Do you want to wait? Have we ever talked
about
this?
That?
Yeah, let's talk about it, Alex. Well, you don't want to talk about it?
Okay.
Really?
I feel like it's.
It's interesting. I think it's interesting. Unless you don't want to talk about it, I think it's really interesting.
No, it's fine. I'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. I think you shouldn't talk about it, and we should not acknowledge it again for the rest of the podcast.
No.
We should just leave it.
This is. I think it's really.
No,
interesting.
Talk about it, but it'd be really funny.
Oh. I just deep throated banana. Anyways, my chest is an interesting little number. I am really tall. I'm 6'3".
Good to know.
Well, it matters.
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Continue.
Anyways, my ribs as I grew, they really kind of started to get messed up. I'm not entirely sure if it was the height that caused it or whatever, but point being, my ribs were growing outwards, like my rib cage was kind of growing in size faster than I was growing in size.
Picture the Death Angel trap from Saw 2.
No, don't picture that. What?
No, don't do that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, and I don't like it. No, my anyways, my ribs were growing out, and so my sternum ended up getting pushed in, so it kind of looked like I had a basically a like a hole, like a divot in my chest, because my ribs were growing out.
I never remember it being that bad, but I always remember it being like,
because you never saw it, because I didn't want people to see it, because I
hated
it.
Well, no, I definitely saw it a few times, and I never remember it being that bad. I was like, oh, it's like not that big of a deal, but it's definitely something there, and maybe it's
like, I have, yeah, like, medical reason. I have three other friends who've had it. It's not like that uncommon of a thing to have.
No, it's,
I mean,
not.
It was dangerous, wasn't it? Like, there was a...
Yeah, well, mine, it's usually not dangerous for most people, but mine got really bad to the point where it was pushing on my lungs and my heart.
Yeah,
and if I got punched the right way, or I fell on it, or it just kind of kept growing the way it was, it would cause a serious health risk, because I could puncture my lung or like do some serious damage to my heart.
Yeah,
so I had to get a surgery for it, which meant that what they did was they put kind of, they had a U-shaped bar that was kind of formed in my chest, and they had it, they cut two incisions along my, like, the side of my chest, and they inserted the bar under, flipped upside down, and then they just flipped the bar around and popped my sternum out. And I don't like sternum very much.
The interesting thing that I remember is this was in, I believe it was freshman year. Was it freshman or sophomore year?
It was the summer of freshman year.
Yeah. Yep. And I remember thinking that. This is, I think, also, like, I remember thinking, you were so, like, fine. Like, I remember you took it so well, and I was like, I would be fucking terrified of getting surgery. And you were just, like, you were just fine. Like, I remember you taking it fine. You didn't even seem, like, freaked out about it, like, when you explained it to us. Maybe that's because you've already processed it. But, like, I remember you, like, being impressed by you took it so well. Like,
it was actually really fucking traumatic. That was,
I'm sure, yeah, but yeah,
yeah. No, the I didn't do anything for that entire summer, just because I was out of commission for the entire summer.
I remember
was,
that.
Yeah,
then, I went to your hospital bed, and you were kind of like mildly high on painkillers, and you were like, hey,
I mean, you still have to be somewhat careful with your chest, because he still has like a bar in his chest. Like,
yeah, I mean,
and then he went snowboarding.
they told me that I could be really on top of it. They also said that they've had a person that got the surgery and then did Taekwondo and didn't want to get it taken out because he liked to have made him feel. He felt like Superman. So it really is just kind of a case-by-case basis. They said if you feel fine, then do whatever you want. It's not really going to restrain you.
I mean,
yeah.
You still have like a, he's got like a little blue scar on his, I say blue because it is like genuinely blue. It's like, it's blue colored, the little scar.
The scar is blue? What?
Yeah, it's blue. The scar's blue colored.
That's just how scars do. It's just like,
not, yeah, exactly. It's, like skin, a blue, yeah. It's a blue colored scar. It's crazy.
No, it's the color of a scar.
Yeah, but like, that's blue.
And it's not a blue scar, everyone.
It's blue,
it's just,
bro.
A scar.
It's blue. It's, so
it's
blue.
Not blue. What are
it's
you fucking
blue.
Talking about?
Okay. I guess I can't really argue this,
I think,
because I'm
Alex,
not
so white.
It on me.
I'm very pale.
Yeah, but I don't have it. I can't really argue this, so I can't really, because I don't actually have it on me, so I can't really make the argument, but I think it's blue.
Okay, well, Simon thinks it's blue, everybody. yeah, no, the fucking, that whole experience was really weird for me. Leading up to it, I just kind of didn't really think about it. I just kind of accepted that it was going to happen, and there was really no point in just, like, getting terrified of it, because it needed to happen. So I just kind of lived my life, and I was like, it's going to happen, it's going to suck, but whatever. I trusted the guy. The doctor was really, really cool about it. And I just didn't let it faze me too much, because I knew, he told me I was going to be out of commission for a while. So I was just like, I'm going to enjoy the last of this while I have it.
I mean, you ended up just like sitting, like just playing a bunch of games and just vibing for like most
Of the time. Well, there was more than just games and vibing, but.
Yeah, I know. But like, I'm putting a good spin on it, of course. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No. Right after it happened, the worst fucking memory I have from that was I woke up and they hadn't gotten my painkillers dialed.
Ooh.
So I woke up right after surgery and I like was gasping for air because I just couldn't breathe. Like, I just vividly remember not being able to breathe. And it was so scary.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Uh-huh.
That's not good. Yeah.
No, it was bad. Anyways, they got it fixed. It was really sad because my brother really had, they like, it was a seven long, it was a long ass surgery. Cause that's a lot of, that's a really like, you have to be very careful in that area. So mm-hmm. it took a long ass time and they sat in the waiting room for like hours and hours and hours. And
really?
They sat there. Yeah. They, I mean, wow. Yeah. It was like 6-7 hours. I don't remember. I was out, but,
literally. I don't remember. I was asleep.
Oh, dude, a catheter sucks. I'm not, I'll
tell you that later. Oh, are you talking about telling that? Us about that and being oh, like, oh, that sucks.
It was a
so
lady
bad.
That pulled it out, too. I felt so bad for her. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You have to look at that.
Yeah, it was not a pretty sight after I've been laying in a bed for I don't know how long.
Oh.
Yeah, you're welcome for that image.
And then the image popped into Simon's head.
Yeah, yep. Literally. It wasn't there.
And then so it hit. No, I remember, anyway, after this long ass time that I'd been in surgery for, my brother wanted to see me. And so my brother, I remember waking up and my brother was right there and I looked at him and I couldn't breathe and it was just so
whoa.
Like, that makes it so much worse.
Yeah. I looked at him and I couldn't breathe. No, it was just like, how do you
oh my god, like imagine being him
so
and just
many
like,
emotions in that moment.
Waiting for 7 hours and then seeing your brother and then he's just like
Yeah. It was
but
really
with that
bad.
Noise too.
Anyways, I woke up an hour later in the same bed and there was a balloon next to me. So apparently he just left
my
dad
balloon.
But yeah, no, it was bad. It was really bad.
I've only ever had one surgery and it was the wisdom teeth one. I've never really had like a surgery for a injury. So
I had one and
like...
it was Alex's fault.
Oh, oh yeah. Right, you're fucking
oh, I forgot about
wrist.
That.
He broke my wrist. Actually, it was more. It was like.
It was a mix.
Was it, Alex? I don't remember. You were.
It
who was...
very partially my fault.
Was
but
it
was more
thing?
Mine than Ben's, I think.
It was. Okay. So, wait, before we switch gears, do we have anything else on Alex's wrist?
No.
On Alex's
I'm
chest?
Fine now. No. I, that might get taken out this summer. Okay. Side note.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Like, no. It's your chest is fine now. Yeah. So.
I mean. Yeah. So, what happened was Alec and I were biking around, like,
downtown.
Yeah, around. Well, we were going to downtown. And there's a bunch of bridges, which is Portland's called Bridgetown. So we were going down one of them to the waterfront area because there's a big river that cuts through it, Bridge City, whatever, Bridgeland, Portland,
it's like 10
Bridgeland.
Bridges. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think there's 7.
And they're all different. They're all iconic. It's cool.
Yeah.
So come to Portland.
For everyone who doesn't live here, there's a big river that cuts through the
called the Willamette.
Like yeah, the Willamette that cuts through the city, and there's like 7 bridges that go across it, so that you can connect to different areas, so you don't have to go through like.
One
bridge because
yeah.
That would ruin traffic and everything.
The Fremont.
So I don't. Yeah, I don't. The Spaghetti Bridge. I don't remember
like
which one.
Spaghetti bridges.
Yeah, there are. I don't remember which one we were going down, but there's one that had like a bike path. So there's a bike path on the edge of the bridge, like on the outside edges, and then it curves to the left to go onto the waterfront, and then it's like a, it's a pretty like shallow decline.
It
down.
Goes straight onto the waterfront. That's the steel.
The yeah. Steel. Yeah, we were going down the steel, and then So I went down the curve, I slowed down a lot and Alec didn't. So he just kind of coasted. So I was
coasting the entire time. It was really,
yeah, he was
really
coasting
long.
The entire time. So I saw him getting away and then I saw him going farther away. So I sped up a bit to catch up with him cause I didn't know where he was going. And I don't remember, I think for the rest of the time he had been giving me like which direction to go in, like left, right, straight, turn around or something, but he wasn't. So like I was speeding up and then I looked to the left and I look at the river and I'm like, wow, this is really pretty. This is awesome. And I can see all the skyline and shit and everything. And I look in front of me and if I don't slam on the brakes, I'm going to slam into Alec like full force with all of the speed that I'd picked up by like slightly speeding up and going down the bridge, which probably would have hurt him worse than me. And this was after, this was when he still had the bar. So that might've been really bad too.
It was the summer of, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was the
like
summer
right
after.
It was
the
summer
sophomore
after,
year.
Yeah.
It was right before the summer of sophomore
for
year.
For context, Alec is like the crazy cunt here. Like, Alec is usually the one who would be like speeding fast slamming.
Yeah, so I, no, Alec backwards. Actually, he said that he slowed down a bit.
Well, what like I was doing was throughout the entire descent, I was like holding on the brakes and I was slowly decelerating. So I was like hoping that you kind of just see that and just kind of decelerate with me.
I did not see that. I sped up because I just saw him far away from me.
Yeah.
And then so anyways, I see that he's like close enough to me that if I don't slow down immediately, I am going to crash into him. So I slam on the brakes, but I was riding in a different kind of bike than I normally do. It was one of Alex. It was what do they call it?
Oh god. They have hydraulic brakes on them.
Yeah, I had a hydraulic brake, which means that it slows down way faster. And normally I don't have hydraulic brakes, and on top of that, we kind of
just instantaneous because it's hydraulic.
Yeah. It just stops the wheel, but it doesn't stop your momentum, which means that Ben goes.
Yeah, whoop. I kept all of the momentum. Yeah. I fly right over the handlebars, and then I just slam onto the ground, and all of my weight goes into my right wrist. Nothing terrible happened. I just sat up and I looked at my wrist, and it felt really sore immediately. And I was like, "Ah, that didn't feel." No, I don't think I've even made really any noise. I sat up. I looked at it. Alec like turned, like skidded to a halt, turned around.
I was already stopped.
Like, yeah, no, he stopped and he went up to me and he's like, "You good?" And I'm like, "No."
Did you think it might have been broken?
I didn't think it was broken because
we thought it was a sprain.
Yeah, so the beginning of, this is the end of sophomore year, like the very end. And at the beginning of sophomore year, so I ran cross country in the fall. And the very first race, I got tripped like 10 paces out of the starting line, basically.
You
and
got I also, tripped? Wait, somebody tripped you?
Somebody like, somebody caught his like the front of his foot.
I thought it was
foot.
Intentional.
No, the guy who was behind me caught the front of his foot on my heel and it like tripped me. So I fell down.
He flat tired you, yeah.
He flat tired me, but in a race. So I caught all of my weight under my hands again and I sprained my right wrist. So I was like, oh, this has happened before. It still really hurts, but last time I had racing adrenaline, so it probably covered it up. So I'm mm-hmm. probably fine. It's probably just a sprain. Mm-hmm. All those probabilities were very wrong and it was broken. But nonetheless, I decided to stay at Alex's house and I stayed the night there and we played Minecraft.
It was great. It was a good time.
It
was not great. It was actually pretty painful, but
did you bike home still after that?
Like, no, we walked most of the way to a Mac station, and then I was like, I don't want to walk. Can you call your mom to pick us up? And yeah. He was like, yeah, whatever. And then he called his mom.
I was not that dismissive.
No, you were not. Sorry, that came off wrong. But I meant, yeah, whatever, as in you were not opposed to calling your mom.
Yeah.
Not as in, yeah, whatever, I guess I'll call my mom.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then the next day, so like my parents obviously knew about it because I texted them. I was like, really hurt my wrist. I fell off Alex's bike. They're like,
texted
sure.
The next day. You didn't bother texting the day of.
I didn't.
Which I thought was very funny.
And we had a makeshift like sling where we took a ruler on one side of my arm. I don't remember which side. And then we put an ice pack on the other side and we wrapped it in a towel. So
and
it
this
was
is
like,
still when you thought it was just sprained?
This is when I thought it was all sprained. Yeah. But then I go to my parents the next day and they're like, and it's
his
very,
dad's a
very,
physical therapist, by the way.
Yes, it's my dad's a physical therapist. And the wrist was like very inflamed, very, very swelling. And they were like, that is not a sprain.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor and they're like, you're going to need surgery for this or you're going to develop arthritis. Like, it wasn't to the point where I would never be able to use it again. But they were like, if you do not get surgery on this wrist, you will have incredible pain.
And it's
like not
right
incredible
hand.
Pain. Like it will just your right hand will like very much get worse. Like it will get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will just deteriorate.
You have to jack off with his left hand.
I did.
Yeah. And then you went to Hawaii with a...
I went to Hawaii.
Left hand.
I went to Hawaii before I had a waterproof cast.
Yeah, you put like a weird fin on it.
I had a blue plastic fin.
Yeah.
Which was specifically made for these situations where you have something that's not waterproof on your hand, like a cast, and you need to have a fin on. I had my waterproof fin. And there's like... It had this whole like pump system so that it would actually... It wasn't obtrusive. It's like... It was just this plastic mat. So it was like an oven mitt. But like made out of rubber that sucks onto your hand and your wrist area.
And you like suck all the air out of it, right?
Yeah, and it has a little air pump. Like, you know those bags, those like vacuum seal bags?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like one of those. Cooking. Yeah. It was kind of like one of those, except it had like an external thing that you put on and then you take off. But when everything's said and done, it just looks like you have an oven mitt, like a rubber oven mitt that's just stuck on your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how I went to Kauai I still swam a bit, and I had a good time.
Yeah, I remember being impressed, because I was like, damn, that would fucking suck. But he looked like he had a good time. He made the most
of it. Oh, it did still suck. Like, it wasn't perfect, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, you made the most of it. I was impressed. It was good.
Yeah, I went on... The only thing that kind of I felt bad about was we did this hike where to get there, you have to go kayaking for, like, an hour, hour and a half.
You can't kayak.
And yeah, I took a doubles kayak with my dad, and he did all the work. And I just sat there. Which, I mean, that was cool. I liked it.
Just vibing.
I didn't mind it. Yeah.
Wait, that's cool. There's a hike that you have to kayak to before. That's actually really cool.
It has like a secret waterfall, but it was very not secret. There were so many people there. It was really funny. Because we were like, oh, there's going to be nobody here. It's going to be awesome. Obviously, this wasn't COVID, so it didn't matter that there were people. It was just like nowhere to park your kayak. And we couldn't really just...
Park your kayak.
Well, yeah, that's what you do with it. Yeah, and we couldn't really leave our shit there. We had to actually like take it with us because we were like, oh, we'll just leave it in the kayak. No one's going to take it. And they're like, there are probably 50 people here. I don't know if we feel safe leaving all of our stuff in a kayak, even though it's all tourists and we're in Hawaii.
Yeah, you're probably okay even if you had left it, but yeah.
Yeah, we probably would have been okay, but it's just like better safe than sorry because none of us want to lose our phones or like our valuables.
Yeah.
And my grandma was also there. It was really
grandma
funny.
Grandma went kayaking and shit? That's sick.
Well, she did the same thing as me. She didn't kayak. Okay. She just sat as my uncle kayaked her across. The only kayak that actually had both members kayaking was my aunt and my cousin, and the whole time they were bickering with each other because neither of them could get a good flow down.
Oh,
it was really funny. It was very funny.
You know what I realized as we've been talking about this?
What?
We've never had a single break where we've all been in like Portland and like chill and like actually able to like do things for the entire break. Because we either one of us always goes somewhere.
You're always at camp.
Well, yeah, I'm at camp during the summer. Except now Now I wasn't because of COVID. But then, like, during the spring, I'll go to, like, Chicago or some shit. And then if it's in the winter, either me or Ben will, like, go to Hawaii or some shit.
No, I go during the summer.
Oh, you go in the summer, which I think is fucking insane. I could never do that. It's, like,
it's not that hot.
Is it not,
it's
really?
It's, like, high 80s. Which is still, like...
bad, bro. It's still I remember going to Kauai, and it was, like, 65, 70 with a light rain, and I was, like, yes.
Oh, that is also nice. We have gone in the fall. It's equally good. Alec, have you gone to Kauai or any Hawaiian island? I don't want to leave you out of this. He's busy.
Is he just gone?
Is he still here?
Sorry. I muted a while ago because someone came in my room. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And I forgot to mute. Yes, how no, was I, went Maui? To, I went to Maui.
How oh, okay.
That? When was that?
How was that? And when?
Oh, when? It was the summer before freshman year. Mm. And how? It was. Or, what do you mean, how?
If horses
how,
had feet.
How was
how,
it?
Oh.
What do you mean, how was it, you fucking idiot?
No, I was like, I just thought it was just how, and I was very confused.
How did you go with a plane?
If you went to Maui, how? Plane,
no, it was really good. It was during the summer, but it was earlier, so it wasn't too hot.
Yeah.
It was
We've
hot.
Gone, like, at all different times of year. We like to go every 2 years as, like, a thing.
Nice. Have you been to other islands besides Maui and Kauai, Ben?
No, just those two.
Just those two, yeah.
We don't have a super big interest in going to different ones because, like, we know these ones are really awesome and we like them.
I feel like if I went to, like, Oahu or something, I would... I mean, I know Oahu has, like, the North Shore, which is, like, the best beaches for surfing and shit, but I don't surf, so, like...
Yeah, I just like boogie boarding and body.
Yeah,
surfing.
I feel like going to Oahu would just... It would feel too, like, high class and... But also, I don't know, so I can't...
It's also, there's kind of like a familial feeling when you go back to the same island that you've been to so many
times. Yeah, and if you go to the same places, the same cities and shit.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like, just going somewhere and, like...
I haven't been once, so I...
Yeah. Like, I've been to Maui probably 3 or 4 times. I don't know which, but, like, just going to, like, a few... There's, like, a few beaches where you just go there and you're like, this is home. Like, I know this.
Mm-hmm. Like, you sound privileged as fuck right now, but yeah.
I do. I don't... Like, I'm realizing that, and I feel kind of iffy about it, but I hope that the audience kind of, like, understands the feeling, even if it's not...
Yeah, we're not saying this to, like, flex on you. We're just sharing experiences that, you know...
And I'm sure that everybody has that kind of thing, whether it's, like, going to different... Yeah. Even if it's, like, going to your grandmother's house or somewhere close or family across the country. Or for some people, it's international, because I know a lot of friends who, like... I guess we are in a pretty privileged area, but, like, they have a lot of international...
Everyone has traditions, and traditions are super valuable.
Yeah.
Fact.
I have this thing where, with my mom... I've been going since I was, like, literally zero, because she was pregnant with me when she went, so, I mean, you know, I was, like, I was less than zero. No, less than one, but not technically zero.
You went that. You go back again when you're like five, and you're like, I know this place. It's weird. How do I know this? I feel.
Yeah.
Home. But wait.
I thought you were gonna fart.
Wait.
That's a very Ben.
That is exactly what I do.
But yeah, this is actually kind of a sad story, all things considered, but this place is called Brighton Bush Hot Springs, and it's out near Detroit, and it's basically this, like, retreat place in the middle of the woods. It's 10 miles off of the main road, in Detroit, in the, like, dead middle of, like, literally middle of nowhere. Like, there's nothing out there. It's just middle of the fucking forest, like, nothing around. And there's this area that has these geothermal hot springs, and there's a whole
What does geothermal mean? Just warm?
Geothermal means heat produced by the earth. So heat produced by reactions within the earth's crust. So, like, the same shit that creates volcanoes, except instead of creating volcanoes, it creates hot springs.
Yeah. Gotcha.
As a result of that, you have this like really sick area that's all heated by, like, geothermal energy. So the entire area, the whole thing is all, like, all the heating is done by radiators, which are powered by geothermal energy. And there's these hot springs, which are, like, literally, like, pools of, like, you know, naturally heated hot water that you can go into, and, like, you know, basically it's just like a fucking amazing hot tub. And they have, like, a sauna that's also powered by geothermal energy. All the energy there is completely 100% green and sustainable. It all comes from the earth.
That's awesome.
And it's like this retreat spot where you can go. There's no service, there's no internet, there's no Wi-Fi. You're completely off the grid with nothing. And you can go there for, like, you know, any amount of time that you feel like, you know, within reason, obviously. And you just basically get to experience being fully immersed in, like, this natural setting, but you also have, like, the comforts of, like, you can stay in cabins or in the lodge, or there's, during the summer, they have these tent areas where you can set up tents and you can camp. And they have, like, a really big lodge, which is really cozy, and everything is always very warm because they have abundance of heating, and it's always very cozy and warm. We always go during the winter, so it's very cold. Being in the hot springs when it's snowing is one of the most gorgeous, beautiful experiences ever. It's so nice.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, and they serve, like, it's all the food they serve is vegetarian, so you can go in there and eat really healthy.
Ooh, yummy.
And you don't have to do anything. Like, everything is done for you. Like, not to the extreme, but, like, all your meals are just made. You just go in and eat, like, at this big communal dining hall, and you can also go eat, like, eat in the libraries and shit. And you spend your days, like, taking hikes in the forest, chilling in the hot springs, eating, reading books, just chilling in your cabin, being cozy, sleeping in. It's, like, the most cathartic experience ever, and it totally resets your mind to get back to, like, the busyness of society.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, they also have, like, yoga classes and, like, mindfulness shit, and they have these places called the Sanctuary, the Forest Shelter, and Buddha's Playhouse, which are, like, these little areas that are little huts that are just out in the middle of the woods where they'll do, like, random classes about, like, structured classes about mindfulness and, like, structuring your life and breathing and stuff like that and figuring out how to live in a better way. And then you go back to the real world feeling so much more calm and prepared for everything.
I want that.
Yeah, it's super sick. Now, here comes the sad part. Those fires, like, 80% of it is gone. Like, almost all the guest cabins, the sanctuary, the forest shelter, and Buddha's playhouse are all burned ruins. They lost, like, three sets of hot springs and a big house. The lodge is still intact, but a lot of their facilities were burned down. They were out of power. That's sad, dude. They got super fucked, and I felt so bad. Because, like, that place is... I've gone there, it would have been 16 or 17 times, because I've gone every year around fall. And
no. I don't want that.
Yeah. It was very... They started a GoFundMe that was just, like, try to, you know, help us donate to bring shit back. But, I mean, realistically, it's the same as always. It's never going to be the same as it was before. Even if they do rebuild. But, I mean, the GoFundMe is massive. Like, the community loves this place because it's, like, very, like... It's one of the only places left in this crazy, like, world and shit. Like, in this state that you can go and just, like, completely disconnect from everything and there's no, like... stress. You don't have to think about anything. Like, literally your biggest worry is, like, you know, getting to breakfast. Like, that's your biggest worry. It's so nice.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah. So, shout out Brighton Bush. Also, one of the things that I've always just found really nice and really cool, even though it's such a small little subtle thing, all their signage and all their written out signs and stuff is all carved, hand carved and wood burned. It's like, it makes cool. It feel, it's so homey. It's not like written out plastic pieces of paper. It's like wood burned.
It would be cool to, like, take the last little while of your life and spend your days, like, not necessarily building a cabin, but, like, renovating a cabin and just living in an area like that.
Mm-hmm. With, like, geothermal hot springs and shit. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
There's a little area that's, like, I think, like, a couple miles down the road from Brighton Bush that you can take this little trail that leads down to a river. And there's these way more, like, they're more, like, impromptu sort of, like, makeshift hot springs that people have sort of designed and put together. Like, just random people who just came there in the woods and they built these little hot spring pools out of, like, bathtubs and shit. And they have, like, little pipes that pump the hot water into them. And it'll just go there and they'll just be, like, Russians chilling there with vodka being like, hey, what's up? Like, in the middle of the fucking woods. It's just it's the strangest, most weirdest vibe, but the coolest thing ever. Like, it's really interesting.
Yes. Now I want that.
Yeah. But I feel like one of these days, maybe like whenever I come back and visit Portland, that's like on my bucket list to go back there again and see how it's changed. Just sort of like relive nostalgia and shit. It'd be so cool.
Yeah. That is kind of, that's like, yeah, that's a good bucket list kind of shit just to, that's so fulfilling. Yeah. I'd love to like have on a bucket list, be like support or like help create somewhere like that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Yeah. I feel like I want to create
very fulfilling.
One kind of like, obviously, I'm like close to being an adult, but I'm not even an adult yet, so it's not something that's like going to be set in stone or like something that is absolute. But I would like it as like kind of a bucket list thing to start an eco-friendly shop, because there's all the ones that do the like refilling your shampoo and soap and stuff, like they have like, I know even places like New Seasons do it now. I want to do that, but for art supplies, where you could bring in like old tubes and containers and you can fill it with paints and stuff, and you can buy like bamboo and sustainable brushes and pens and stuff like that and get sustainable ink. That'd be so nice.
That would be really cool.
I don't even know if that exists, but that's like, that's the kind of zen shit that I want to,
you, I mean, there are fulfill like in my life. There are pens, like fountain pens, that can be refilled, so I think you could probably do that.
Yeah,
with higher ink or higher quality ink.
Because I was thinking about it, and there's like, there's shit where it's like, there's a, I don't even know, I don't have a specific example, but there's like different services and stuff where you get things that come in containers. Like I was looking
at. You want to here? Finish that up. Sorry.
I'll just finish like the one little tiny thing I was gonna finish up on was that like Dollar Shave Club. Like they, like every month you get like a new bottle of the like the shave prep cream and stuff. I don't even know if that's true, but just based off the ads, it looks like every month you get a new bottle. And it's like, what if you could just pile those up and bring in like 10 with little like sticky notes on them, and you could just fill them full of like different kinds of paint instead of, and like reuse them instead of them just like being gone forever and just going into a landfill.
Yeah.
Like just repurposing that stuff. That's the kind of stuff that I want to help like perpetuate and make in my life. That's the kind of like change that I want to.
Yeah, I feel like having something like that, that genuinely is like an eco-friendly change to the environment, is something that like everyone could benefit from having on their bucket list. Just having something that's like, hey, let's make a little change, not a huge one, but like something small that can, you know, help this planet be more sustainable and shit.
Yeah. And that's not like, I have no idea if that's anywhere near what I would ever do with my life, because my goal currently is to do something in design. So, like, obviously, I'm not going into accounting or finance or marketing or advertising. I'm going into design, and especially if I do go into something graphic, that does tie in a lot with marketing. But I'm not going down a, like, I'm not currently choosing a career path that is set up to build a business later in life. But that's just, like, kind of just brain blasting. That's what I want
to
do.
No, of course. No, I think it's valuable to do that kind of thing and be like, hey, these are ideas that I think I would like to achieve maybe later down the line.
Yeah, for sure. While we're on this topic, my mom started getting this thing called Maxwell, I think, or Ridwell. Ridwell, that's what it is. And so what she does is she got this big, this not big, it's actually a pretty small little box shipped to her. And then she also gets these canvas bags sent to her. And the whole point of it is that every week or every 2 weeks, I think, they come and they pick up whatever's in your box, and they have bags for, they have canvas bags for plastics, they have bags for batteries, they have bags for light bulbs, they have bags for, they do a one that changes every week. So the one this week was like lights, like Christmas lights.
Oh.
And it's just kind of all stuff that can't, or is pretty hard to get rid of. And they get rid of it in a very, like eco-friendly way.
That's really cool.
Really cool, yeah.
Yeah, Alex's family's always kind of been like the little, like little mini inventors with all their little shit that they come up with. Like I remember your dad had like the, like what are they, the fly fishing things?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, his dad is a designer.
Yeah, whatever that, like little like pilot product thing. That was really cool.
Pilot product.
And then your mom has she wants to make
pottery. Not pottery. But like, yeah.
It's like enamel or something along those lines. Your family is like a whole little group of little inventors coming up with all these.
We're a whole little group of inventors.
That's why Alec always liked making machines in Minecraft.
Dude,
yeah, we should try like Feed the Beast or Tech It. I think that'd be interesting.
Dude,
that'd be good.
Oh my god, I would. Oh, we should do like.
Okay, we gotta keep up on the one that, on the world no, that we're sure. doing currently.
I love
to talk about that, like our ideas
make
for that.
The realm live for once.
Do we want to talk about what we're doing right now in Minecraft?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if that's like an interesting segment. I think that could be.
I got about 3 minutes left, so let's just do it.
Okay,
we can go for as long as we want, though. We don't have.
I mean, I do have work. So I should go get ready soon. So do this and then wrap it up.
Cool.
Okay. We are doing we've done a few of these now, but we start these realms, and the way we play Minecraft, I mean, Ben have always played it, is we really don't play it for like beating the game or play it for building a cool house or anything. We play the game to like build the biggest, coolest shit. So we build huge, crazy farms and stuff. Like, if we need XP, we build it. Like, I currently just finished up a XP grinder in the Nether, or in the end, sorry, that just pumps out Endermen so you can get ridiculous amounts of XP ridiculously quickly.
You did another one of those? Okay,
so. Yeah, so we just play it, like, we don't really worry about anything else. Like, hunger isn't something that we didn't want to worry about. We don't want to worry about anything else. The only thing we want to worry about is building. We don't want anything else to be in our way.
It's yeah.
really, really, really fun because I really enjoy building, but I also like survival and I like the kind of gathering aspect of survival. So it's just really,
it makes
really,
it more satisfying when you build really things. Does.
Yeah, because then something feels earned versus just like, oh, that's cool. And then you just kind of forget about it. Like, I know how much work went into that, you know?
For comparison, I've always been like a creative guy. Like, I spent my childhood was also a lot of Minecraft, which we were going to talk about originally, but it's fine. that was the original thing was like childhood's nostalgia shit. But yeah, it's fine. That was a good conversation. I've always been very much like don't really play survival because that aspect of Minecraft never really appealed to me. When I saw Minecraft as a kid, the first thing I did was the literal first thing I ever did in the entire game was the first thing I did was go into a world and punch a tree because I just wanted the experience of punching a tree. But then what I did actually was I went into I made a new world and it was I made a creative world super flat. With just like a straight up super flat world, and I went in there and I built a stone box and I put a door in it and I was like, this is so sick. Oh my god, look at my house that I've just built. This is like early. This is like the earliest instance of being able to really create a 3D vision in a game. Like something along those lines. And this was just old shitty laptop. And it was so, so cool to just be like, yo, like I made a house, even though it's just a box.
I feel that. Making like TNT pillars and
shit. You guys remember your first experience with Minecraft?
I just said it, yeah.
The
very, very first. Like, you saw someone playing it and were like, that's cool. But you, like, don't.
Oh,
I find
yes.
understanding really cool. Sorry. This is going to
I got
a
it
while.
Before I went into third grade. So I got it in 1.2.5, which was a long ass time ago. And,
I got
Yeah, so it's been a lot of years. But the only, like, thing that I really remember about my experience with it was that a lot of people in my school were talking about Minecraft. And then I got it, there was only like one guy. His name was Luke. He was chill. I haven't talked to him since like fifth grade, but he got it first, and he was like talking to everybody about how cool this shit was, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And then I started researching it, and then that kind of became like I think Minecraft is like the one game that I've played the longest because I haven't ever stopped for more than like 6 months playing it since third grade. Like, there's never been a longer period of time. Than just a few months of inactivity that I have just legitimately not played the game. Like, I'm always coming back to it.
Yeah.
And because especially like because of that guy, a lot of my friends and I knew about it really early on. And then we got to it, like we just were able to continue playing it and continue like experiencing new things. And it was one of like, I don't have a specific, my only first experience that I can remember is getting the game at my grandma's house first. I don't know why, but that was where it happened. I very distinctly remember sitting in her office and just like my mom and grandma were there, and they made me have my username be the my first initial, like the initial of my first name, and then my last name, and then my birth date, because they thought that I would have to re-enter my username and password every single time, like it wouldn't remember me. So they're like, we're gonna make this the easiest thing for you to remember, and it had like all of my information on it. It was like basically my full name, except it didn't include all my first name and then my birth year. Not my birth date, it was just the year. But still, it was just like, that's always some really funny shit.
My Minecraft username has my address in it. Mine has my address in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't see the numbers. Don't numbers
are like the numbers for his address.
Don't see the numbers because it's actually pretty easy to find where I live if you save the numbers. But yeah, that has the four numbers of my address in it.
Damn. Yeah, mine was just a year, so it's like, oh, this guy's 17, cool, and that's it. Should we wrap it up? I feel like this is a good point.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's respect someone's work schedule. I also work at 2:15.
Yes, let's go work like 9-hour shifts, Ben. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I love this. I don't.
I better get all my breaks today or I'm going to punch my shift manager. I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that.
Punch my shift manager.
That's a joke. All right.
In the broma.
This has been Three Idiots of the Four Idiots and a Microphone Podcast.
The Fellowship of the Three Idiots.
Actually, three microphones.
Three microphones, sure.
Four microphone. Microphone quadrupled.
All right, cool. We're wrapping it. Everybody take care of yourselves. Drink water.
Bye-bye.
Stay hydrated.
Hydration.